of the Lord tonight. Say amen.
Amen.
Had you rather be here as anywhere else?
Amen.
Well, if the Lord should come back before we get through here tonight, wouldn't that be something? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I tell you this, I prayed about a lot of things, I know as y'all have prayed, and one of the things I've been wanting to do, as the Lord put on my heart, not just Odell wanting to do, but I so enjoy singing with these folks up here, and I hope it don't mess them up too awfully bad. And I'd like to encourage more of you to take advantage of the blessings that God has by doing that. I told someone, I said, I can always step down if there's more men involved. But, you know, seeing Jeff up there sometimes by himself. And didn't Michael do a wonderful job this morning on Beulah Land? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I have to remember a friend that we had back years ago, went home to be with the Lord here not too long ago. And her husband passed away, and she'd always loved that song, Beulah Land. And every time in church, somebody would sing at the choir or individuals or what have you, she'd just be over there just crying, you know, just wiping her eyes and everything. What a song. How it touches your heart. How it touches your heart. Did anyone hear anything on the news this afternoon about the one that killed those people in Nashville? I hadn't watched TV since we got home, but, they had caught him? I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Okay. Hadn't caught him yet. Pray for this individual. We was talking Jerome in Sunday school this morning, and Brother Anthony in the message and everything. It's easy to get down on this guy for what he done. I know that, but we need to lift him up in prayer and ask the Lord to save his soul, because Jesus died on that cross for a murderer like he was. And we just need to do that. I want to know something tonight. Do you have joy in your heart?
Amen.
Hope and pray that you do, because I'll tell you what, without joy, you know, it's just, we're fighting a difficult battle. Have you heard people say that, I want to know, you don't have to raise your hand on this, but I just wonder, how many here tonight has been hurt, and you've been in church for a long time, or you've been in church for a short time, but you've been hurt in the church before? And you don't want to really get involved so much because I remember how you got hurt, and I don't want to get back out in there and get hurt again, so you're trying to protect yourself. Well, old devil comes, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's wanting to take your joy. And let me tell you what, if you're just a mediocre worshiper and sitting on the pew, and you're not going to get involved because I'm afraid I'm going to get hurt, let me tell you what, you're going to lose more than the hurt from anybody the church can do for you. You're going to lose the joy that you have. Some people got the joy, and they don't want to lose the last part of the joy they got. So therefore, they don't want to do anything. But you know what? If you went to work, well, let me say this right here. Sometimes I'm just pretty plain spoken, and I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I just want to do what the Lord wants to do. And first of all, I want to ask you this. This message is not meant. It's not meant to be cruel. It's not meant to be hurtful, hateful. It's not meant to get anybody upset. But maybe we need to be stirred at times.
Amen.
If you're going to get upset at the devil. If you want to understand, ask the Lord. But don't get mad at the message and don't get mad at the messenger. I've heard it said several times. In this church and other churches, we need a plan. And here's why I'm asking you. Don't get mad at me, because I'm going to agree on the things that's been said. We need a plan for security, because there's people throughout the land that's gone into churches and killed people. We need a security plan. That's for sure, and I agree. We need a plan to be ready in case of fire. We had in a business meeting, we was talking about fire extinguishers. It's a good thing to have fire extinguishers, because if you need one, it's good to have.
Amen.
If you don't have one, you're in trouble. And I've heard you say, we need a plan for that. We need a plan to do this. Let me tell you. But really, security, for fire extinguishers, we had a meeting on this afternoon on committing suicide. We need a plan. We need to understand what happens in a person's life, reason why they do it, and try to help us to help someone else. We need a plan. But really, all this we need a plan for. But what is the church's purpose for being here? God has a great, wonderful plan, and we need to follow His plan as fully as we can. And when we do that, all these other things will be taken care of. The position that Brother Anthony has as pastor and preaching a message, I can see why some people don't want to come to church here. Man, he don't hold back. He preaches it the way God meant for it to be, and when you go home, and I'm not here just to brag on the preacher, but I want to brag on the message that God put in the man's heart. Amen. I've not heard a bad message since we've been down here. I don't hope to ever hear one, but let me tell you, when he preaches the message, when he goes home, I honestly believe this. I believe that the Lord is well pleased, and he don't have to say, "Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't do what you want me to do." Now, that don't mean that everybody in the house is so agreeable there that we just love what he said and everything. Because I want to tell you what, when you can run from the Lord by staying out of church, but you can't get away from him.
That's right.
You can't get away from God just by missing church. And I'm not going to get on this about people, but I do wonder, and I'm sure you do too. We went to a church here in the county back several years ago. Man preached a message. You talk about preaching a message. I mean, everybody, I think, was squirming around because the message was, it was good. It was hot. It was fiery. I couldn't hardly wait for Sunday night to go back. All evening, I just thought, man, I tell you what, that was so good. I just want to go back and hear more of that. Well, we did, but it wasn't as fiery that night. Where you had to look for a seat that morning on Sunday morning when you went in on Sunday evening, you didn't have to worry about finding a seat because there were seats everywhere. What have we done in the church? We come and we worship, and I know there's reasons why people don't come. But why? Is it pleasing unto the Lord? People don't come to church on Sunday night or on Wednesday night. Because they get, he wants us to have that joy and have it full. He wants it all running over. He came that we might have joy and have life. And I want you to turn with me tonight, if you will, in the book of Acts. Let's start with the 8th chapter. And let's look what happened with Philip. 8th chapter of Acts. And we're going to read verses 5 through 8. I'll ask you to stand in reference to God's word, please. Ooh, we fuss about the rain, but who sent the rain? Are we going to complain to God about sending the rain? We just sing, Holy Spirit, rain down. Look what he said. Acts chapter 8, begin with verse 5. He said, "And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave an..." Let's go back again. "And the people with one accord..." Folks, he's not talking about Hondas there. They all together. They in unity. "In one accord, they gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke." I honestly believe this by reading God's word. The message that Brother Anthony preached, if people would give heed to, if every lost sinner in the house this morning, if every person that needed to come to the Lord, if they would give heed to it the way the Scripture says, what would it be tonight? What would it be tonight? They gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many who were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and who were lame were healed. Oh, but look at verse 8 right there. Because of what Philip did, notice what the Lord done through him. And there was great joy in that city. Oh, wouldn't it be great joy in the Giles County, in the city of Pulaski tonight, if there was unclean spirits coming out of people, if things were happening like the Bible said it happened then. And what's the difference between then and now? It's because of us. It's because of our unbelief. It's because I just want just a little bit. I don't want it all. I just want just a little bit. Just want it. Would you pray with me tonight? I mean, really pray. I want you to pray for yourself. I want you to pray for your family. I want you to pray for your lost loved ones that don't know Jesus Christ. I want you to pray for your neighbor. I want you to pray for that man that said that you was the sorriest, no good person ever on the face of this earth. You was the ugliest person that ever looked in a mirror. You was persecuted. And the Bible says we need to rejoice greatly when we're persecuted, because when we're persecuted, we show, they see Jesus in us. If we're not persecuted, we better examine ourselves. Heavenly Father, tonight we come. At all times we come, not just tonight, but we come asking you, dear Lord, to do what we can't. We ask you, Lord, to stir the hearts of these thy people. And Lord Jesus, let us leave here tonight rejoicing. Let us leave here tonight ready to win a lost world. It's dying and going to hell. Let us win that lost world for you, dear Lord. We're going to give you all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, in faith, I just believe something wonderful is going to happen here tonight. Lord, it happens time after time after time. But Lord, tonight, and it's not because of me, and it's not because of these people. Lord, it's because of you and your Holy Spirit moving in a mighty, mighty way.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, pour out that Holy Spirit upon us tonight. Help us, Lord, to believe in what the Bible says we can do. And what it says we're not to do, we won't try to do. But Lord, let us just follow you. And in faith, we just believe something wonderful is going to happen, and we give you all the praise expecting it to happen in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Notice there. You can look in that same chapter. Notice that sorcerer, verses 9 through 13. Notice what it says. There's a certain man called Simon, which before in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, and wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Oh, notice when Philip preached, things happened. Just like when Jesus came through a certain town, people followed him. They had to crowded to be with him. One of the men that's been the closest in a long time went home to be with the Lord not long ago. Dr. Billy Graham. I got a magazine at home called The Decision. You look in there from page one, and you keep turning the pages, and it shows pictures where he's preaching in Sudan and China and Russia and different places. And it talks about the numbers of people that were in attendance. I had an opportunity, Pat and I did a couple of times, back in the early 70s, I guess it was. He was at Birmingham, Alabama, Legion Field. Never been to a football game there, but I'm going to tell you what, that was some more service that day. 55,000 people, they estimated, in attendance. Man that played for Alabama named Joe Willie Namath was there in attendance that day. One of the greatest football coaches that ever coached, Tom Landry with the Dallas Cowboys, was there. Billy Graham preached the message. Simple message. Even a child could understand. George Beverly Shea, when they started singing, just as I am, without one plea. Oh, those people started coming out from all the stands, from up in the top, from down in the bottom. And when they got to down there, there was an army of people standing right there to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. What a man God used. But let me tell you what, to him is given much, much is expected.
Amen.
He expects us to do the same thing. Maybe not that great a number of people, but look what he did. He is something. He was something, and he reached the people in the name of Jesus. Turn with me back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 25 here tonight. Look at verse 21. Jerome done a wonderful job this morning on Bible study. Just as like Robert does every Sunday. And I'm going to tell you what, they really a blessing. If you're not in Sunday school, be there next Sunday morning, good Lord willing, because it was really, really good. Matthew 25 and 21, notice what he has to say. If I can get out back to 25 here, we'll be in business to be where y'all are. Verse 21, he said right there, his Lord said unto him, well done. Isn't that what we want to hear him say about us? One day we'll stand before him. We want to hear him say, well done. He said, well done, thou is good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. You've been faithful. You've come a long way. Don't turn back. Don't stop. Keep on doing.
Amen.
Keep on doing.
Amen.
Let me ask you, turn back to Acts. I meant to do that before we moved back to Matthew, but that's all right. The Lord's got something in mind here. Look at Acts 3 and 3 right here. Read a few verses here. Now this is the joy. That's the message I want us to take from this. You got to believe. You got to believe that the Lord can do what He said He could do.
Amen.
You got to have the joy to believe that if He sends me out here, He said, I'll never forsake you. I'll never leave you. I'll be with you always. Wherever you may be, I'm gonna be right there with you.
Amen.
I'm not gonna leave you. Have you ever had anybody to leave you?
Amen.
You ever had anybody to disappoint you?
Amen.
Have you ever wondered what they said they'd be with me forever and they left me in a mess? You never have to worry about the Lord about that. But in that third chapter, book of Acts, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What happened? We showed up here sometime at 3 o'clock unexpected. Nobody around here, but here comes somebody after we get here. I'm just asking the question, folks. What would happen? Notice what happened to them. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. Scripture doesn't indicate this man ever walked before. It's hard to imagine unless you've been in person's condition the way he was. I've been able to walk all my life ever since I learned how to walk when I was a child. Oh, I fell a few times, but it helped me back up.
Amen. Amen.
They didn't give up on me because I fell one time.
Amen.
You may have fallen a lot of times, but don't give up. God didn't give up on you. But this man, they carried there. They laid him there daily. That was his way, I believe, of having something to eat.
Amen.
He begged for money. Tommy, you know, we go down there in Mexico, and those kids, they run around, they begging for money all the time. But that's the way he had of having something to eat. But he was there. And he expected Peter and John, when they came up, to give him something. That's the reason why he was there. He's going to ask alms. He's going to beg. He's a beggar. He's going to beg for money. Who's seeing? He saw Peter and John about to go into the temple and ask an alms. Or he said, hey, would you give me some money? Notice what he said there. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John. Whew. My Lord. Can I have a volunteer just right here? Man, any man in the house, would you come here just a minute? No, you ain't going to cost you a thing. Just get down on your knees. Just down on your knees.
Which way?
Hey, that right there is fine.
Oh,
we'll help you. There's plenty of people here. If they say they can't help you, if they say they can't help you, we'll get some help. If a man won't do it, we'll get enough women around here to do it, okay?
They won't take one to get me up.
Want one to get you up, okay. But Peter and John was there. Here's this man, and he's begging for money. Peter and John says, silver and gold have I none. I mean, they didn't go with their pockets full of money. But he said, such as I have, rise up in the name of Jesus and walk.
Come on, boy.
All right. And the man got up. The man had never walked before a day in his life, I don't believe. But what did he do after he got up off of his knees? Can you run back through there? Walk fast then. Walk fast. That's what he done. He was leaping and praising the Lord. Now, if you could never walk, if you never took a step in your life, I mean from your birth up to the age of this man, you had never walked before. And Jesus, and he healed him and he lifted him up there. And what did he do? He leaped up. He walked. He praised Amen. God. He thanked him. How many times has he done something for us, my friends? We don't even stop to thank him. The doctor done it. All that new medicine they got out at Medicare covers it. It helped me. Whew. We give everybody the credit in the world except for the Lord. Rise you up and walk. I got a true experience. I know I didn't have the same results that Peter and John did. I knew this fella. Went to church together. Rode around in a wheelchair all as long as I knew him. Him and his wife lived in a little small apartment. We'd go by to get him, carry him to church on Sunday. Visited him through the week, whatever they needed to do. Sitting there talking to him one day, Lord put that scripture on my heart. And I asked him, I said, I won't call his name, you might know him. He's gone on to be the Lord, I don't think he'd mind. His name was Howard. I said, Howard, you believe in scripture and what it has to say? Oh, yes, Brother Dale, I believe it. I said, do you believe every word of the scripture and what he has to say? Oh, yes, I believe it. I started reading that scripture to him where this man was down there on his knees and he couldn't walk. He's sitting there, and Peter and John, he reached down and he said, in the name of Jesus, rise you up and walk. Him sitting in that wheelchair, Brother Anthony, I reached out with both of my hands to take his hands. I said, you believe that? Yes, sir. I said, rise up and walk. The man sat there. You believe the scripture? Rise up and walk. Oh, I can't. I can't. I said, you're right. You can't. He can.
Amen.
You won't. He won't. Amen. Unbelief will stop a blessing. It'll stop a blessing. He gave heed unto them, expecting some. But boy, he got more than he expected, didn't he? Peter said, that silver and gold have I none. Oh, man. But today is your day because Jesus is going to give you power to walk.
Amen. Amen.
Some things are better than money. He took him by the right hand, just like we demonstrated right there. He lifted him up, and immediately his ankles, bones received strength. What's that old song about? What is it? Start out with a toe bone connected to the shin bone, whatever, and the knee bone and all that and everything. I tell you what, the Lord transformed him from the top of his head, bottom of his feet.
Amen.
Gave him everything he needed.
Amen.
And all the people, here's the doubters. Maybe some of them is kin to Thomas, I don't know. When he leaped up, stood and praising God, all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat it for alms. This is verse 10 here, at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. But you know, I don't know whether this is right or not. And they was asking his parents about it. Is this? Well, he said, ask a one that gave me the strength to walk. Notice what he said. Turn with me back to 126 in Psalms. 126 chapter and verse 5. Notice what it says, joy. You got joy. You got joy. I never want to hurt anyone from anything that old Dale might say. Because if I get out of the Word of God and I start saying what I believe and I think this is what it means and everything, and I make somebody mad and I offend somebody, and I probably, well, I ain't going to say probably. I know I have over the 73 years. I've had to say something to hurt somebody. But I've tried. If you're one of those people that I could have hurt, I'll ask you to forgive me. If you're who God means for you to be, you'll forgive me. And we'll go on from there. But we do things at times that is hurtful. You know, the Bible talks about joy so very much. In that 126th Psalm in verse 5, he says right there, "They who sow in tears shall reap in joy." I've laid awake and I've cried and I've asked the Lord through the power of His Holy Spirit to speak to my children that once were in church years ago, that once were in a relationship with the Lord, that if they died that very day, I believe in all faith I have, if they died on that very day, they was in the right relationship with the Lord and they'd go to heaven immediately. My friends, I can't say that tonight. I'm not the judge, but I don't have that same faith, because if a person does not have a desire for God's house of worship, if something else is always more important than the church, then why does anyone want to go to heaven? Because heaven is going to be filled with people that's grown up, that's worshiped the Lord, that's praised the Lord, that's served the Lord in the church, some of them all of their life, from infants all the way up to senior citizens. And some's come in at a later time, but they've served the Lord in a marvelous way. But you can cry out to God to save those that are lost. I had an opportunity this past week, and it was an opportunity. I had a man ask me, he said, "Would you go visit?" And he called this gentleman's name. He almost died here recently. He said, "Would you go visit him and would you go pray with him?" I said, "Yes, I will." We went over there and we prayed, and I don't know how long anybody had been since he visited him and everything. And I'd like to tell you tonight that when that visit and when we prayed and everything, I'd like to tell you that he just said, "I want to ask Jesus into my heart and life and forgive me my sins," but he didn't do that. He was acceptable by prayer. We prayed. He and his wife and myself, and we prayed. And I told him, I said, "We got a church that's praying for you." Folks, time's running out. My loved ones and your loved ones, and I don't say this to scare you, but if they leave here, if they die tonight or next week or a year from now or whatever, in a condition, in a lost condition, where are they going to spend all eternity? I've been to funerals, and you have too, and a preacher would get up there and they'd say, "Oh, this was such a good man, this is such a good woman, they done this and they done that." But sometimes you don't hear them say, "This person right here, they gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ when they was 12-year-old or when they was 20-year-old or when they was 60-year-old. You don't hear them say a lot of that about, they know that they're going to heaven because they made it right with the Lord Jesus Christ. They ask Him to forgive them of their sins. Let me tell you what, there's not any good people in heaven tonight as we speak. No good people. Had a friend go home to be with the Lord. Now he preached a message down at St. James. I may have said this before, but if I do, that's when older people start repeating yourself. I want y'all to understand it. If you don't repeat yourself, just give yourself time, and you may do start doing that. But he preached a message that night, and he had everybody wanting to scratch their head and look kind of funny and everything. And we was in his Baptist church, and he said, "I want to tell you tonight, when you get to heaven, you won't see any Baptists there." What? And he said, "When you get to heaven, you're not going to find any Methodists there either." People didn't look hardly as strange there because mostly Baptists there. "And when you get to heaven, you're not going to find any Presbyterian there either. When you get to heaven, you're not going to find any Church of Christ in heaven." Man, people, but if you ain't going to find them, who you going to find? He said, "I know you're wondering who you're going to find when you get to heaven. You're not going to find any of these I mentioned here. All you're going to find when you get to heaven is born-again believers that know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you believe that name on the door will get you to heaven, the devil's got you believing a lie." To get to heaven, you're going to have to do something that you've already done. I want to ask you, how many of you would like to have something? I'm talking about of the Lord, not of man. But how many would like to have something that they've never had before? Raise your hand. You ever think about it this way? If you want something from the Lord that you've never had before, Well, what can that be? I got salvation. I got satisfaction knowing I'm going to heaven. But you want something you never had before, you're going to have to do something you've never done before.
Amen.
That pride's going to have to go.
Amen. Amen.
That's sitting on a church pew for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and I got saved in that church, and I hadn't made another decision since then. You want something you never had before, you want to do something you've never done before. John told us about that beautiful thing called heaven. In that 14th chapter, he said, let not your heart be troubled. He don't want us to be troubled.
Amen.
Believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He's not going to lie to you.
Amen.
And I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, where Jesus is where we're going to be also. How many ever lived in a mansion before? Anybody? I went to a mansion one time. North Carolina. Vanderbilt. Was that the name of it? What is it?
Biltmore,
not Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt's built a Biltmore probably, but anyway. Woo! Big old house. I'd hate to live there. I wouldn't want to live there. We went there, I'd never seen so many rooms. You'd have to have 14 maids to keep one floor, I believe, cleaned or whatever. We got in there and we looked and went through all that, and we got outside, and I know this is a woman's thing. She may whip me going home, but Pat said something about when we got out there. She said, but we didn't even go in the kitchen. Don't worry about it, hon. You seen one kitchen, you saw them all. Well, they go back in. But that's a big old house, a big mansion. But that's not the kind of mansion I'm speaking of, what John said.
Amen.
Yeah. In my Father's house are many mansions. Isn't that a good song about it? In my Father's house? Send it over, sing it. Be what I sort of told you. Ooh. Oh, you know what Thomas said, you know, how can we believe? But what did Jesus say? What did Jesus tell him? He said in that verse 6, that man has always heard, but isn't it something we hear something, but I think it meant this. Well, John 11, 35, shortest verse in the whole scripture, two words, Jesus wept. Somebody wants to change that, they can't do it. But what did he say? They want to change. Jesus said, I am the way. You want to go to heaven? Go with Jesus. I am the truth. There's no lie in him. You want to know the truth? The truth will set you free.
Amen.
How many of you rather hear the truth is a lie? Uh-huh. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
How's people going to get to heaven if they don't go but Jesus? They ain't. No other way. You said this morning the door. John 10, 10, what? The door. Salvation is so simple. It's what Billy Graham preached. The simplicity of it. It's not rocket science. How many of you remember Jerry Clower? Wish we had some more Jerry Clowers around. You know the story he told about he's going down there, and I can't pronounce all of it, but he was talking about that, going down there and just where they look at these rocks and all this kind of stuff and see how they's formed, how many years and all that kind of stuff. This old guy had made that speech and everything. The chauffeur was driving around all that time. And that chauffeur had heard that speech so many times that he knew it word for word. He told him, he said, you going to this next town? He said, I can do as good as you can. Y'all have heard this, but I'm still going to tell you. He said, I know that speech as well as you do, and I'll show you that to prove that. He said, let's just change outfits here, and you get up here and drive. And he said, ride me in the back, and I'll go down there, and I'll make that speech that you've been making all this time. And here was this person, and I'm not against education, please, but here was this highly educated person sitting there, and they asked one of them questions about that loan, about what would happen if so-and-so. The little guy looked at that professor, and he said, "You in this college and you ask a dumb question like that? You mean you're going, you just ask a question like that to show you how simple that question is? I'm just going to let my chauffeur answer it for you." Jerry Clark could do it. Jerry Clark could do it. When a Christian loses their joy, they have, first of all, it's a lack of a devotional life. It's hard to rejoice in the Lord when you don't take time to know who He is.
That's right. Amen.
Ways a Christian loses their joy is an unthankful spirit. I think we touched on that earlier. But ingratitude focuses on our hearts and our minds and on our needs rather than on our blessings. I believe you said something recently. I'm trying to think. You know, we think about that. We get the many blessings and we have something negative come along. And how many, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us be honest enough tonight? We get a bundle of blessings come along, and but we have one little negative thing comes along and we focus on that. It just wipes out the blessings. Lord's wanting to bless us so much. Thirdly, dreaming outside the will of God. When our spirits become burdened with the difficulties of life, the grass looks greener anywhere we're not. And to prove that, I was riding down the road one day this week, and I saw there was two little baby calves, and they were standing next to this fence, and both of them had their heads stuck out as far as they could, eating that grass on the other side of the fence, and there was plenty of grass on the side they're standing on. That tell us something. Fourthly, Christians lose their joy when they compare themselves with others.
Amen.
Comparison always leads to ingratitude, pride, and discouragement. You may not be able to do something as good as somebody else, but don't worry about it. You probably can do something better than that person can too. And if you can't, as long as you're faithful unto the Lord, that's all that matters anyway. Impure thoughts, ways a Christian loses their joy. A pure heart is a happy heart, and an impure heart is an unhappy heart. Are you happy tonight? I mean, are you really happy? Could anything make you any happier other than the Lord coming back tonight? Could anything make you any happier other than maybe a loved one walking down this aisle tonight during the invitation and giving their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and asking for forgiveness of sin? Does anything make you any happier? Ways that a Christian loses their joy is unresolved conflict. Oh, I tell you what, Brother Anthony, I listened to you well. I tell you what, talking about that in the Bible study as well. We do something that's wrong, and somebody else does the same thing, and we want to be judgmental on them.
Amen.
But we have a reason. If you only knew the reason why I did what I did. Well, God knows that reason. He knows the reason why that other person did too. Failed relationships will take joy out, regardless who that is. A mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a son, a daughter, a grandchild, whoever who it may be. To lose the joy is neglect your priorities. And my friend, there's a lot of neglect going on. There's a lot of neglect going on in God's house. This man can preach on a Sunday morning and he can preach and wanting this church, God wants this church to do the things that God means for it to do. And you know, when we grieve the Holy Spirit, it don't please God a bit. But you know, if we could all get united like the early church and they come together in unison, and I'm not talking about just numbers, folks, please understand that.
Amen.
Numbers are important. But if we come together, what would the outside world think when they come by and they seen that parking lot so full you couldn't get another car on it? Or you had some police officer standing out there directing traffic when they go out. I've been to a church like that before over in Cordova when Adrian Rogers was preaching there. We got there at the 11 o'clock service. That was either the third or fourth service, and they had police everywhere because they had in that last service about 3,500 people there. You want to really impress somebody? I mean, doing what the Lord would have you to do? Just a thought. Do you have a welcome center when visitors come into this church? Bellevue Baptist Church over at Cordova, when we was there that morning, Dr. Rogers, he stood up there, I know at least four times in his message, and he said this, we can't get around and shake every hand that's in the house, but if you will take time, if you're visiting with us, we have a welcome center back there. If you will stop by and get a cup of coffee or a Coke and some literature on the church, we just want to let you know that we're glad that you're here. Did we go by? No. Why? Because we was a long way from home, and we're going to hit the road to get home. I don't know why it's so special about getting home, but that another 30 minutes wouldn't hurt. But anyway, neglect your priorities. What does God want you to do? When you pray, would you just ask Him, Lord, what would you have me to do? And when He tells you what He wants you to do, say, Lord, are you sure? Do you question the Lord? And when you ask Him what He wants you to do, and He confirms that, He makes it available. Yeah. You don't know how down I've been these last few days. Pat can tell you, my attitude is sorry at times. You don't have a preacher saying that a lot of times, or Brother Anthony does. But preachers don't run yourself down. Amen. Arguing and fussing, and it's nothing serious, but it's just like a short... Well, when you get older, you do that. Lord, if when you get older, you get that way, Methuselah, he must have been a joy to be around, must he? But when we, and again, let me say, he's very special, and he'll take you. A nobody like me, and he'll use them a little bit if we'll just be obedient. He's not looking for ability. He's looking for availability. Last Sunday night over at Mount Moriah, singing with a group there, and Terry there, and Robert was back there, and Michael and Jeff and all the ladies, and man, I tell you what, that's good service. If I don't do anything else, let me encourage you to do something that you hadn't been doing. I got some things I want to talk to Brother Anthony about, and I want to talk to the deacons about. And y'all may not want it done because we ain't been here all that long, but I'm going to tell you what, if you don't want it done, I ain't going to push it. I ain't going to try to do it, but I've got some things. I'm just dying. I mean, I just believe the Lord will bless it. Lack of personal ministry engagement. Lack of personal. He's a personal Savior. Oh, Lord, material expectations. He wants us to do something. You know, joy is the inheritance of every child of God. It's a supernatural result of the work of the Holy Spirit within. You see somebody is so happy. You know these type of people that you say, oh, if I wish I had what they had. You try to say something negative about somebody's, oh, child, you don't need to say that, you know. And they was talking about that in the Bible study this morning. You know, we're all wonderfully made by God. If I run you down, did he give me permission to say you wasn't no count, but look at me how good I am? I think about the woman that's caught in act of adultery. They was going to stone her to death. Them self-righteous people had them stones in their hand and they was going to do that. She was down there. She wasn't even looking up. She knew she had done wrong. Amen. Do we know we do wrong? Amen. I don't know about the time, and I don't really care about time. And you know, I may not ever get to preach again, but I want to do what the Lord wants me to do if it takes all night. And I know you don't stay that long. But this woman was down there on her knees because she was guilty as could be. Jesus was over there with his finger writing in the sand somewhere, and we don't know exactly what that was, but he wasn't even concerned enough about that woman. Y'all don't need to do this and that. They tried to trick him every way that he could, but you know, Jesus, he just simply asked a question. As I ask you tonight, you think of that dopehead, drug addict. You think of that alcoholic. And we try to get so fancy at times in the church, and I know the Bible says prostitutes in there, but it also says whores too.
Amen.
And it don't have to be a woman. Men and women both sell their bodies out. But that woman was guilty as guilty could be. And Jesus simply said, let he that is without sin cast that first stone. And we need to remember that when we see somebody that's down and out or they're doing something they shouldn't be doing, we don't need to put them, we don't need to stone them because he said he's without sin. And all them men walked away. You know, she was caught with another man. But you know, the Bible don't give us any indication what they did with the man. They didn't do anything to him. Bible says the penalty for adultery is death. But where's the man come in? I tell you where it comes in, I think. Have you had these boys and girls growing up in life, and the girl goes out here and she gets pregnant, not married, and the community looks at her kind of with a frown? She ought to know better than that. But what did he say about the one? Well, it takes two to, well, it takes three. It takes the hand of God. It takes a man and woman to have a child. But what does it say about the boy, the man that she was with? They were heard about, oh, he's just a chip off the old block. Oh, he's a man now. But what is she? Notice how it is. This joy must be guarded from Satan. He will do all he can to steal your joy.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
He came at you. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. Joy's decision, it says in Psalms 28:7, joy's decision we make on a daily basis is experienced when we remain rooted in the unchanging and unwavering love of Jesus Christ. Brother Anthony has said on many occasions, and I'm going to say the same thing, not copying him, but folks, I tell you what, I've got all, that's all I've got for you tonight. But God's got more than that. We need a Holy Spirit-filled revival in this land that we're living in. We need some hellfire and brimstone preaching that says if you don't belong to Christ and you die, you're going to bust hell wide open. We need a message from a man that God was sending and preach that message, and souls need to be saved, and folks that's not in church need to be in church, and they need to come to know Jesus, because we don't never know when that time's going to be. He says, watch, for you know not what hour your Lord may come. We need that. I noticed in the Baptist Reflector here just recently, they had two or three evangelists in the state. And they were talking about, you know, have you ever noticed we don't have revivals anymore?
Amen.
Or if we have a revival, it's what they call a mini revival. If you do good to have two or three nights, I guess two or three nights is better than not having anything at all.
Amen.
But I can remember when they used to have week-long revivals. I can remember Scotts Hill Baptist Church as a young teenage boy sitting out there and the preacher preaching. It was hot, and it didn't have no air conditioners. The windows was all open, and it had them lights in the ceiling, and them old candle flies, them things just going around there. And I'll be honest, as a young man, I paid probably more attention to them than I did the preacher, what was going on. But they preached the message, and they preached it, and they kept on preaching. And you go in some churches, I know you sit out there at Mount Moriah tonight, I'm not used to looking at a clock. When we get to heaven, we'll have to worry about that.
Amen.
No clocks, no watches, no nothing.
Amen.
But tonight, has the Lord blessed you?
Amen.
Have you been a blessing to someone else?
Yes.
Is your relationship with the Lord on a basis where if you should die this very night, you don't have no problem where you're going to spend eternity?
Amen. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you.
Now, we can say all that we want to about, yes, I'm ready, yes, I'm ready, yes, I'm ready. But we've been preaching and teaching around here about forgiveness a lot. If you got somebody in your heart that you can't forgive, you won't forgive, listen to what I'm going to say. You get mad at this if you want to, but I believe God's going to back it up, or I wouldn't even say it. If you've got somebody in your heart that you won't forgive, my friend, you're not saved. You're on your way to hell. Because the Bible says if you don't forgive someone, you cannot be forgiven. And where does a person that's not forgiven, where they wind up, spend all eternity? In a place called hell. I'm not a popular preacher, I don't want to be. I just want God to be pleased with me. Just a moment, Brother Anthony is going to stand here, and I pray that you would, if something is not right tonight, don't leave without it in the same condition that it was you came in. How many of you here, now you don't raise a hand on this, I'm sure, but how many of you believe in gambling? Some people in church do and some don't, a lot don't. I have talks with people a lot of times that they don't see anything wrong with the lottery. They don't see anything wrong with going to a casino and gambling because I just go down there for the entertainment. I can go down there and lose $500. No, it's fun. I never felt it fun to lose money. Not that I greedy for money, but I learned a lesson a long time ago on that. But they don't believe, ain't nothing wrong with it. And the reason I ask you tonight if you believe in gambling, because if you're not just what you need to be with the Lord, you're taking the biggest gamble you ever took in your life. Of making it to heaven without everything being done what needs to be done. Morgan, God bless you. I tell you what, that is beautiful up there in that baptistry tonight. People come to know the Lord. People want to draw closer. Pray with me for it, Brother Anthony comes. Would you? Lord, as we come.